Okay, I just was starting the recording. I'm sorry, I forgot to start the recording. So, in any event, let's start to take a little bit of a background to what is this sefer. In the days of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, there was the beginning of this Hasidic movement had started to develop the Baal Shem Tov and some of the Talmidim by the early 1800s. And as there was also, before that, there had been the Shabtai Tzvi fiasco, who was, a false messiah who drew a lot of Jews away from Judaism. And, the Vilna Gaon felt, when he saw the first Hasidim and the Derech and what they were considering doing, that it was leading in that same direction. And he was outspoken about his fears. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner had a very close relationship. He was the one who actually wrote the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, which was printed by his son. And it's a kind of response, if you will, to some of the fears that the Vilna Gaon passed on to Rav Chaim Volozhiner about what Hasidus could lead to. The fact of the matter is it never actually did. Some say that part of the reason why is because of the hisnagdus, the anti, the fight from the Vilna Gaon and his Talmidim was part of what caused, dragged Hasidus into actually becoming, a very legitimate and a very important contribution in Klal Yisrael. But, from the historical point of view, today, what we have essentially is Rav Chaim Volozhiner has gone through Toras Nistar, that's, all of the Kabbalistic teaching, and basically vetted the writings and the teachings and organized all of the important primary principles that we need to know, as we know that in the later generations, that wisdom, the deeper wisdom, Hashem had in mind that it would be revealed and that it would become open and available to more and more people. So, and more and more Jews would need it, and it's part of the process of the Geula as well, as is understood by the Zohar. So, therefore, together with certain particular issues of agenda and a primary understanding that now is the time, starting already in the 1800s, now is the time to start to bring this Torah down. So the Vilna Gaon and passed on to his Talmidim, that's Rav Chaim, and this Sefer, an approach basically to looking at the entirety of this body of information and organizing its most basic principles. We have here four Sha'arim, that's four gates. The Sefer is built on four gates. I'm not sure which copy everyone is working with. I'm planning to go with the Hebrew version. I don't know. We didn't actually discuss. I know there's currently in the bookstores they've printed an English version of the Sefer, which has translated portions of the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, but not by any means all of it. It's a wonderful Sefer to read, and it's very insightful in the English, but it is missing a large chunk of some very, very important ideas. Some of them are really deep ideas, and I understand why he made the calculations that he made to translate some parts of the Sefer and some not. But when you buy the Sefer and translate it into English thinking that's what you're getting, it can be a little bit frustrating when you realize that isn't what you're actually getting. So
Does the English translation my English translation has the Hebrew in the back, and I'm just leafing through it. Are you familiar with it? Does it have all the Sha'arim in the back?
I believe that the Hebrew in the back actually is the entire Sefer, and that's
okay.
Part of the way that he justified doing what he did.
Okay.
Was that he printed the entire thing. But if you're just planning on following it in the English, it won't correspond directly to what I'm reading and translating as I go through. I will actually skip some of the what are called the Hagos, which and I may paraphrase certain aspects of it depending on how deep it gets and how difficult it gets to do it over the phone. But, my intention is to cover the actual Sefer and read it inside, and What I would like from you all is if you could, if you feel that the, you know, if there's feedback, you know, in terms of we'd like more reading, quicker, more speaking out translation, any balance of, you know, more discussion, more questions, more time to, you know, I'm open and flexible. As long as I feel like I'm servicing, you know, the majority of the people and people are happy with it, I'm flexible. I've gone through the Sefer and learned it through and taught it a number of times. So I do feel that there are certain things which I have to cover and deal with. But, you know, I may tend, if your goal is, well, I want to translate every word and understand every word, I may be going a little too fast. You might have to work on the recording afterwards or something like that. Those are just a couple of, you know, basic points. But the first shar, so let's understand now a little bit, what are the four sharim? The first shar is 22 chapters, and the basic topic of the first shar is to understand what we mean when we say that man is created in the image of God. That is essentially us understanding who we are, how Hashem has made us, what it means that we have a soul, what the soul is, defining its abilities and its capabilities and all that Hashem has put into it. That is Shar Aleph. Shar Beis essentially deals with the topic of tefillah, but looking at tefillah as the paradigm called avoda. Like we know, there are three things. The Mishnah in Avot says the world stands on three things: Torah, Avoda, and Gemilus Chasadin. And Avoda really means Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, but in light of the fact that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, so we know that Chazal taught us that it's Tefillah that stands in place of the Avoda, and Avoda is not just Avoda in the sense of sacrifices and Tefillah, but that is the paradigm for all divine service, meaning mitzvahs, and everything we do in the service of Hashem. So Shar Beis is to define what our avoda actually does in the world. So who we are, Shar Aleph. Two, Shar Beis is what we do and what effects what we do have on the world we live in. Shar Gimel is the most difficult portion of the Sefer because it deals with who is Hashem. That means the Tzimtzum, what is called the Tzimtzum, defining for us an approach of how we talk about Hashem, even though, you know, his essence is unknowable to us and beyond our ability to conceive of, still we have a tradition about how we're meant to speak about Hashem, how we're meant to relate to Hashem, who Hashem is, and how we actually define it and talk about it. So Shar Gimel is short, but it's very deep, and it's some of the most important ideas that we need to know in terms of talking about who Hashem is on a very deep level. And Shar Dalet deals with what is Torah. Torah is then the vehicle through which all of these previous Sha'arim are activated. Hashem's involvement in the world, we know, it says in Chazal, Histakel be'oraisa u'bara alma, that God created the Torah, looked into the Torah, and used the Torah as a blueprint for how to create man, how to create creation, how to do everything that he does in creation. He follows his own guidelines that he put into the Torah for how to relate to the world and how he set it all up. So Torah is the blueprint for who we are, what effects what we do have on the world we live in, and how Hashem will relate to us, meaning how he's going to behave and how he's going to operate in our world. So Torah then, the fourth shar, is he's going to describe for us how to properly understand what Torah really is. And we don't only mean Torah as a book, but the learning of Torah, the study of Torah. He's going to spend a lot of time speaking about that and the praises of people who study Torah, etc. So that's an outline, a quick outline, if you will, of the entire Sefer. And with that, I think we should maybe just dive in. Are there any questions up till now before we dive into the first Shar, Perek Aleph? Okay, so here we go. Shar Aleph, Perek Aleph. Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, in Bereishis, Vayivra Elikim es ha'adam, betzalmoy, betzalem Elikim bara oso. God created, that's Elokim. There's going to be an emphasis on that. It says Elokim created man in his image, B'Tselem Elohim bar also. In his image, Elohim created him. It's repetitive. And it's emphasizing here that he created, that's God, Elohim. Ki B'Tselem Elohim asa esa Adam. Hine omek pnimius inyan ha'Tselem, the depth of the Tselem, that means the image. Hu midvarm ha'omdim berumo sho'olam. This is one of the deepest secrets in all of the Kabbalistic wisdom, the understanding of the depth of the, what the soul is, and what it means that we're created in the image of God. Most of the Zohar is actually dealing with this topic, but most of the deeper secrets in the Zohar are dealing with this topic. Amnam Khan here, for our purposes, Nidaber B'Mila Tselem, when we refer to the word Tselem, that's a key word, because that's a word we're going to be focusing on throughout the entire Shar, because it's the image of God, where soul is referred to as having been created in the image of God. That word Tselem, image, what does that mean? We're going to refer to it as B'derech HaPashtonim HaRishonim Zal, but in the way that the Pashtonim HaRishonim, that's referring to the Rishonim, that's the period of time, you know, the what's called the Middle Ages, 1100 or 1000 until 1450 or so. There was an approach in the Rishonim to explain things on a more simple level rather than on the deeper Kabbalistic level, which many of the Rishonim actually did have Kabbalistic knowledge. But B'derech HaPashtonim HaRishonim, he's going to approach this word and build the Shar out of the simpler understanding of this word. Al Pasuk Nase Adam B'Talmenu Kidmusenu, their Perush on this Pasuk. For who... When we say the word tselem and demus, and we're created in the image of God, both of those words, by the way, mean a similar meaning of what we refer to as image, but he's going to say it doesn't mean what it's normally translated as. Kasuv mefurash, that's a verse in Isaiah, Uma demus ta'archulo. What demus, meaning what picture or image, could you possibly ascribe to Hashem? So Hashem doesn't have any demus. He doesn't have a picture. There's no picture that can actually be used to describe or associate with who Hashem is. So when we say the word demus and we mean a picture or an image, it's inaccurate. It's not correct. Ela perusho dimyon ma. The word demus is actually, in the Hebrew, the word demus and the word dome or dimyon, which means similarity, right? That is the meaning. So tselem and demus, which are synonyms, their meaning is not picture or image, but rather similarity. We're created with a similarity to Hashem. So that's dimyon ma be'eza davar, kamo Damisi Lakaas Midbar. I was similar, David HaMelech says about himself, I am similar to this desert bird, which is a roaming bird. Kilo Nasulo Kinafayim V'chartom. It doesn't mean that David HaMelech in that psalm was referring to himself as someone who had a Kinafayim V'chartom, like a bird has a beak and wings and things like that. V'lo nishtanet tzurasa l'tzuras ha'ka'af. David doesn't mean that my physical form has become like that of the physical form of this bird. Rak shenidma az, at that time in his life, David was saying that he was similar at that time, ben mikre pe'ulosav, in his actions and in his life, shahaya navanad, similar to that bird that roams around. Navanad, those words, we see that by Cain, that he was Navanad. His curse was that he had to roam around like a nomad with no place. So David HaMelech was saying, I'm like that bird in that particular aspect, Kamo Kas HaMidbar, Shu Tzipor Bodeid, it's a lone bird. U'ma'ofeh mi'makom u'makom. It never really stays in one place for too long. It roams around, it moves around all the time. Kahu, l'fi ha'pashtonim ha'rishonim zal. That's what the word demus means, according to the Rishonim. It doesn't mean a picture or some sort of form or image, but rather it means that we have a similarity to Hashem. What's left then is to define what is the similarity that we have to Elohim. So So the chain al derech zeh hu inyan milas tselem. That is also the meaning of the word tselem. Because hiyem adomim b'mashmam b'tzadmah. Those, again, are synonyms. Now, I want to point out that this is the end of chapter Aleph, and what's interesting is that even though clearly tselem and demus mean two different things, because even in Torah there's really no such thing as synonyms. Everything has a slightly different connotation. If there's a word in Torah Shebiktav that's used, you find it in Tehillim and in Chumash and also in Nevi'im, and there are synonyms, they always mean something slightly different. For his purposes, it's enough to refer to tselem and demus as being synonyms for his purposes. I will say that Rav Chaim Vital in the Sefer Shari Kedusha spends a lot of time dealing with the difference, defining more clearly the difference between tselem and demus, where he refers to the deeper level of soul as tselem and more external level of soul as demus. And part of demus is also how the neshama connects to the physical form. So demus means the aspect of soul which is more associated with physical form, the physical form of the human being. And tselem refers to the deeper koach of the neshama. But again, for the purposes of this sefer, tselem and demus mean a likeness or a similarity to Hashem, and we have to define what that is. Okay, any questions till here?
Yes, Rabbi Cable, I have a question.
Yes, yes.
So from this reference to Tehillim of David HaMelech.
Yes.
So is it saying that it's in our action there's a likeness in what we do? Because it seems like that's
well,
the example.
In the case of David, it certainly was. But in the case of the Neshama, that's what he means, the Mikra Pu'ulosav. That means David in his actions at that time was similar to the actions of the bird. But we'll have to see whether that correspondence to action actually plays out when we're talking about what likeness we have to Hashem. The goal is right. I told people in the email, the introductory email, that things kind of build on each other in this sefer. One idea, basic, connects with the next one, and the next one, and the next one. By the time we get five or six chapters in, there's going to be a whole different connection of ideas and building on ideas. And it'll be a lot more rewarding. So it's kind of hard to base, you know, on this first initial thing. But I will say this: that the fact of the matter is that he's actually going to speak out word for word what he means. He's not leaving it, not in this first chapter, but as we go through the coming chapters. So let's just wait on that, because
okay.
It will be exceedingly clear by the time we're done.
Okay, thank you.
So Perek Beis, Amnam Lahavin Inyan Amru. Umro b'tselem Elokim daika. In other words, we have a basic working idea, understanding of what the word tselem and what the word dmus means. It's a similarity or a likeness. But the Torah consistently, when it talks about this, it uses the Shem Hashem Elokim specifically. V'lo Shem Acher. It never refers to us as being created with a similarity to any other shame of Hashem. Hishem Elokim, because the name Elokim, Yidua Perusho, everyone knows it's Perusho, who Marasho, who, that's Hashem, who is Barashmo, Baal HaKochos Kulam. Kamosha Mavuar Batur Orechayim Simen Hay, that's Halacha, by the way. When a Jew makes a bracha, you say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, or Elokim. Anytime we say that shame, we're supposed to have kavana of what do these words mean. Whenever we make a bracha or we say prayers to Hashem, we're supposed to know what we're saying. So what is the official meaning of the Shem Elokim? The official meaning is Baal HaKochos Kulam. That's halacha. That's what we're supposed to be thinking when we say that shame, when we make a bracha, or when we say the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Supposed to be thinking in that word Baal HaKochos Kulam. Now what does that mean? Baal HaKochos Kulam. The Inyan Masha Hu Yizbarach Nikra Baal HaKochos, that name that we use, Elokim, to describe this, that Hashem is Baal HaKochos Kulam, Ki Lo Kamidas Basar V'dam Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not like the way of a man is the way of Hashem. Ki HaAdam, this is a mushal now. He's giving us a mushal that we can use to extrapolate to appreciate this point. For example, a person, kishabona binyan, when a person builds something, derech marshal me'eitz, like let's say out of wood, ena boina, the builder, is not boire umamtzi az mikocho ha'eitz, he's not creating the wood from nothingness with his powers. Raksha lakeach eitzim, he's taking wood, shekvar nivru, that was already there and it's already in existence, umasadram the binyan, and organizing them and attaching them together. Once he's done that according to his desired design, even though he removes his forces of activity and involvement in that building, the building still stands. But Hashem, like at the very moment of the inception of creation itself, Hashem created everything that is in existence from nothingness, with his infinite power. Kain me'az, and so too, like then, all the way till now, kol yom, the kol rega mamash, every day, every second. Kol kolech mitziusam v'sidram v'kiyumam, the whole power that they have to exist, and the order, the arrangement, and their ongoing upkeep, all that is dependent on that Hashem is emanating into the world with His will every second. Koyach v'shifas or chadash, energy, divine energy, and a flow of more life and life force and light into the world. V'ilu hayahu yizbarach mesalek mehem koach hashpa'asay af rega. If He would stop willing the world to exist and stop emanating energy on an ongoing basis into the world to keep it going, even for 1 second, kerega hayu kulam la'efes v'toyu. It's not that the world would like start to decompose and things would start to break apart and fly, you know, rocks and things would be flying through space and everything would physicality would decompose. It's that they're just in 1 second there just wouldn't be anything. It would be like there was never anything here at all, in one blick. Ukamoshi yastu anche kinesis hagadola, like anche kinesis hagadola put into the prayers that we say every day, the birkas yotzer, or the word hamachadesh betuvai bechol yom tamid maisa bereishis, that Hashem is renewing with His goodness every day, always, meaning not only every day, daily, but every second, tamid maisa bereishis, hainu tamid mamash, really tamid, kol eserega, every moment. Uri urayasam, their proof is mufareshus, it's explicit in the Navi. Kamur, like the Navi says, la'ose orim gedolim, shelo amar asa ela ose. Yeah? That is, it doesn't say that God made orim gedolim, that's the heavenly bodies. He's making the heavenly bodies. He's always making the world from scratch. So, When we understand Hashem as the Baal HaKoyches Kulam, we have to appreciate that even though we also have within ourselves certain power, and you know we live in a world and we're able to influence that world, but there's no real comparison between the way we influence our world and the way Hashem influences the world. Now, this seems to be going in the opposite direction of what He wants to accomplish. He's trying to get to an explanation of how we have a certain similarity to Hashem. But this seems to just be, yes?
Rabbi Cable, I'm a little confused because I thought what this is explaining is from the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, not Elohim.
But again, right, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei He hasn't defined yet. And what's unique about Yud-Kei Vav-Kei as opposed to Elohim is they actually go in tandem. Like we say, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The aspect of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is referring more specifically to how all of the energy is emanating from Hashem into the world. But this, Baal HaKoyches Kulam, is referring not only to the inception of existence, but to Hashem's ongoing involvement in running it and being involved in maintaining it. That specifically is Elohim.
Huh.
They go in tandem with one another. So he's just referring to Elohim here as, of course, Hashem, when He is involved in maintaining and upkeeping and organizing our world, of course, there's a deeper element of the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is how the whole universe in its inception is being recreated from nothingness every second. But we have to appreciate that that same Hashem who is recreating the world from nothingness, he is the Baal HaKoyachos Kulam. He himself is that Baal HaKoyachos Kulam. He is running this world with everything that's in it. He keeps it going and maintains it, operates it, organizes it, and keeps it all going and unfolds all the new changes and realities that are happening around us all the time. He is the Baal HaKoyachos Kulam. When we look at him as the one who's running the world, so we have to appreciate that his running the world is an extension of his creating the world from scratch. So what I'm trying to get across here is that the way in which he is the Baal HaKoyachos Kulam is actually never going to be similar to the way that we are, no matter what. No matter what similarity we end up having with him, we'll never be exactly like him. So
Rabbi,
he's going in the opposite direction, yes.
Okay. Just to clarify again. So with the Pasuk, HaMechadesh B'tuvo, so I guess this is the part I never realized, that every minute he's creating from scratch as opposed to creating and then
yes,
just sustaining everything. So like every second, which obviously we can't understand, it's going from something to nothingness, back to something to nothingness, something to nothingness, but going back
correct
to something. Mm-hmm.
That's correct. And I'll say more than that. There's a beautiful mashal that can help us to grasp a little bit of what this really means. Nowadays they don't have it, but in the old days, movies used to run on like a what's called a moving picture. There were little frames that someone would either it was a picture or someone would draw or illustrate something on one little frame, and then that's connected to another frame and another frame, and if you run them along with light shining through it consistently, what you end up with is what seems to be a moving picture. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the world around us actually, he describes it in the Haggah here. There's actually this same reality is going on underneath the eyeball. We don't visualize this. To us, it just looks like the world keeps going on and on and on. But the fact
right
of the matter is below our senses, on a spiritual level, if you were to go all the way to the roots of creation, what you would see is that it's like a heartbeat almost. Hashem is willing every second and second our world into existence from nothingness. That teaches us many, many things, but most importantly, what we need to realize is that the natural state of existence is to not actually not be here. And
right,
therefore, we have to appreciate the fact that every second is new, every moment of life is new. There's always newness available, new opportunities, new availability for a relationship with Hashem in every second of life, in every second of our universe. Should never allow ourselves to fall into the trap of looking at this world that we're in right here and saying, well, it looks the same as it was yesterday, and all my problems are the same as the problems I had yesterday, and everything that's going on is, you know, it's frustrating. You know, when are things going to change? They change every second. We just don't appreciate. And many times, I would say more than that, the reason why Hashem keeps putting back in our lives and in front of us the same world is to show us that we haven't done anything to change it. We're the ones, that's the whole purpose of this star, is to teach us that we're the ones who actually can make the movement that can cause the next frame to be different.
But do we really exist? Yeah, I'm sorry.
What's that?
Go ahead. I was going to say, do we really exist? I thought we didn't really exist. I'm like throwing in a
Yeah, well, we exist only as a function of this ongoing will of Hashem
mm-hmm,
to exist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that's how
mm-hmm.
We do really exist because Hashem consistently wills us to exist,
okay,
but our existence has a certain, at the root of it, we have a certain dependency on Hashem that we never really come to appreciate fully and nearly enough. That's another thing. A third thing is that if you think about it, think about this idea for a moment. We say this all the time, and many people have heard this idea. It says, Yeshua Hashem keheref ayin. The salvation of Hashem can happen in the blink of an eye. How many of us, without this, what we've just spoken about here, have a sense of what that would look like? It seems so unrealistic. How is the whole world going to change on a dime? Like everything, literally everything, like just in one moment, yeah? So the fact of the matter is that the fact that we look at the world and we see it and we assume that what's there is actually what is, and it's just, it has some sort of natural energy in it that keeps the universe moving forward. So there's like a time, and it takes time for things to happen and unfold, and, you know, seasons and ages and life changes and brackets. All these things take time, you know. It takes time to become an adult. It takes time to get old. It takes time. And everything is happening in the world, political, geopolitical. It's all taking so much time for it to unfold. But the fact of the matter is that really Hashem, in the next blick of putting the world into existence, can put a world into existence that's entirely different than the one we're in this moment right here.
But then how does that explain, like, a tree from the seed to the, you know, from the seed to the sprouting to the growing? I mean, there's a process. So how could it be going from...
A beautiful question, a beautiful question. I want to ask this question specifically to a huge Talmud Chacham here in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Yaakov Friedman. You probably may have heard his name. But anyway, he explained it to me. It blew my mind personally, but I found the beauty of his answer. He said, if you chart the growth of a tree, let's talk about a tree that actually produces, let's say, flowers, yeah? So if you look at the tree moment after moment after moment, day after day after day, month after month after month, it looks exactly the same. Maybe there's certain growth, certain changes, but when the bud pops out, that first bud of the budding flower, it happens in the blink of an eyelash. It's a natural process, but until that point, there was just nothing there. Right, you come out the next moment, you look at it, hey, there's a bud there. It took months and months and months for that, in the tree growth, it took months and months and months for that to happen, for it to actually reach that point, all of which was happening below the scenes, and you didn't really see what was going on, and the changes were so subtle that it didn't seem like that. But the next moment, you look at it, there is a bud. Yeshua Hashem is the same way. There's so many things going on that Hashem has been planning and operating and moving and changing in the world. The world doesn't seem like it's getting there, but the fact of the matter is that the next moment, it's still a natural continuation from Hashem's point of view with a plan and a process, but it can, right, that moment can be the one where that first outward symbol of the fact that it's now changing to a whole new world can then be there right then.
So there is a connection. So there, please tell me if I'm talking too much to the class too.
No, there definitely is a connection from one.
So there's one
plane
from
to
one.
The next.
Okay, so there is that connection from the seed, and it gets broken up, and it has to be almost deteriorated in order to have the growth and the sap going up the tree, and I don't know whatever else the trees need to do.
Right.
There
but
is
when,
that continuation.
But if you were the external observer of that tree,
you don't know that it's happening.
That.
No, but my
right.
question is, it just seems different to the description of Hashem doing something from nothing to something. Then again, it becomes nothing to something. It sounds disconnected. Even though to our eyes it looks connected, it looks like what's happening behind the scenes is...
You're saying it's something from something.
Right,
yeah,
exactly. Like the tree looks like something from... No, but it's happening even underground. Because we know intellect, because Hashem gifted us with the idea of knowing intellectually, there is something from something. It's the water, it's the soil, it's the nurturing, it's the sun. We see that there's a connection constantly.
That's why the tree is only a mushel at the end of the day. His point here is that the tree is a mushel, meaning that's where the mushel is falls apart, right? Because the manner in which Hashem does it is slightly different, but there is a comparison.
See.
There is still a reality of similarity between the process Hashem is working with in terms of how He is bringing the world from one stage to the next, and how He wants us to be involved in it, and how He calibrates it and recalibrates it always based on what we do, and we have free will, and we can affect the course and the things like that. All of that is all built in. And there's a deeper point here of how Hashem, right, which was way below our ability to perceive, but it's a reality of Mechadesh, Betuvah, B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh Bereishis. That's his whole point here. He said this from the beginning. Lo k'maaseh, like Baser V'gam, Ma'aseh Hashem. His ways are not like our ways. This is the point which I've been making, which is he's emphasizing here not how we're similar to Hashem, but how we're actually not like Hashem, because Hashem's way of doing it is very different than our way. We are only dealing with Yesh Me'esh, us, always. Only with
right.
Yesh Me'esh, not with Yesh Me'ayim.
So we're living with, yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
But the Yesh Me'ayin that Hashem is working with also is, he's doing a Yesh Me'yesh as well. And the two are related to one another. His Yesh Me'ayin and his Yesh Me'yesh work like gears together in a, you know, a watch, right? One gear turns and that turns another gear and another gear, and all the different hands are all turning around. So Hashem is working with a Yesh Me'yesh, and that's what makes him unique and special, and that's why there's only one Hashem. There's only one being in the universe who operates on that level, and that's him. But that Yesh Me'ayin operates a whole gear system which affects all the Yesh Me'yesh as well. It's all interlocked. And that's the
so
one
we
key that we don't have.
So we are
that's
living with that. Go ahead.
Yes.
So we're living with that paradox that, in essence, yes, there is this growth process, but at the same time, there's the Yesh Me'ayin of that tree, and we just won't understand it because we're not Hashem, period, the end. Is that what
Correct.
You're saying? Like, that tree has a Yesh Me'ayin aspect. It's not there and it is there, and it's not there and it is there. But yet at the same time, it's interchanged with the gears of a process, which is just a mashal for us to try to understand Hashem.
Yeah,
or
and,
whatever
and the
mashal is. The
Yesh Me'yesh part, the Yesh Me'yesh part, we actually have ourselves. That's where he's heading. That the Yesh Me'yesh part of Hashem's process, he gave also to us to be able to have. So that with our soul, we're going to be able to affect, on a very deep level, the Yesh Me'yesh part of Hashem's process in the world. We made a partnership with him. That's where he's heading with this. So let's try to jump ahead a little bit more. I'm not watching the time.
Can I just ask one more point of clarification?
Sure.
Hi, Sabar.
Yes.
So I'm still confused. When you're saying, so does that mean every second this you know, Tamid Masay Breishit, the world goes back to Tohu Vohu and then bleep, we're here, and then back to Tohu Vohu, and like I don't understand that.
Yes. That's
so
that's what it says.
Every second I'm being like annihilated and then reborn and annihilated and reborn.
Yes.
And we just can't understand what that means.
Right, and he knows that we can't understand that. He's not trying to cripple us with ideas that are beyond us. He's trying to explain to us that there's a level of how Hashem brings the world into fruition that's really, we talk about it and we refer to Hashem in that way, but the fact of the matter is that it's really beyond us. We have to know that it's there, but keep a distance because we just don't have the ability with our minds to get our heads around how that really could be, especially since it doesn't really seem to relate to our experience.
The concept that I get from this to take away is not to think of myself so much as growing along a continuum, but rather like I'm literally being recreated every moment.
No, I think both.
Right, it's both. We're being recreated, but we also have the ability to affect on an ongoing basis what that newness is going, what course that newness is going to take. And to us, it will be experienced as a continuum.
So there's this dual process going on. Hashem, boom, it's like recreating me, and then I need to do something with that new creation.
Correct. And the way I'll experience that is that I'll be able to put one moment together with the next one, together with the next one, hopefully create a whole, again, a continuum, a whole process of growth. So for us, it'll always feel like it's connected one moment to the next.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is that what gives us the ability to utilize each moment with a new opportunity is the fact that this moment is a brand new creation right now. There's a beauty in that. There's a beauty in that, right? We're not always working with really the same exact stuff. And it's like Play-Doh, you know, you push it this way, you put it that way. There's really a freshness of a new start and a new opportunity in every moment. And we can do paradigm shifts, quantum leaps. But the fact of the matter is that the process is most likely if we stick to it. Most likely what it'll look like is an upward graph, mostly. Like, you know, there may be dips, sometimes we'll go down, but hopefully what we'll do is we will keep continually putting those moments together, and even if we don't necessarily make a complete paradigm shift or like a, you know, recreate ourselves every second, in our with utilizing that potential in each moment, but at least we can utilize it to a degree to keep ourselves moving forward. But there's a, in order to be able to do that, there has to be newness in the moment. Yeah, it's not just a yesh meyesh. There's a real opportunity of ischadshus in every moment.
Well,
that's what it
which
means
you respect
in the moment.
Well, it's also respecting. No, but it's also respecting. It forces you to respect every absolutely everything, including ourselves and everyone, because the potential of what could get lost can like terrifying.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, the both the respect of what could be the yesh and what could be the mayayin, like, you know, just thinking of birth, the idea that it could happen, chas v'shalom, the opposite. So in everything. So it's just this incredible honor that you
covered,
just give to,
the covered,
it just comes through very strong.
For our own lives, the lives of everyone around us, the opportunity of existence itself.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on a little bit more. Vezehu shenikra. No, it's okay. I appreciate the fact that people get to understand better what we're trying to say. These are deep ideas.
Yeah.
Vezehu shenikra hu yizbarach shmoi ha-elokim ba'ala kaychais kulam. This is what it means that Hashem is Elohim, shekol koach prati, every aspect of creation, hanimta b'kol ha'olamos, hakol, hu yizbar shmo ha'bal koach shalem. He is the one who is the master of the ability to wield the power inside of that thing. Shemashkia behem ha'koach u'gvura kol rega. He infuses it with koach every moment. Utuluyim b'yadai. That's the main point here. They're dependent on him. Tamid, l'shanoisam, l'sadram, kiritzana yizbarach. Think of the world as aspects of power, forces. Everything in the world. Yeah, maybe you think of it as elements, or today science has broken it down into particles and subatomic particles. And all sorts of things. But all of those different, however you want to categorize everything in physicality and in spirituality, however you want to categorize it, if you break it down to its basic units, all it is a sea of entities, of physical or somehow created, bound in some way, with some boundaries, a sea of entities, forces, aspects within creation. And if you think about it, if they're going back into tohu vavohu every moment and being brought back into existence through the will of Hashem, like a heartbeat, if you will, or a pulse. So the fact of the matter is that it has to be recreated, reformed, reorganized all over again from scratch every moment. So not only does everything require a dependency on Hashem for its ongoing existence, it's deeper than that. Everything that's in existence requires being completely recreated, organized, arranged, set up, continued and put into its place in the whole hierarchy of creation all the time. So that's what we mean when we say balakaita kulam. Imagine, it's hard enough to keep organized a house with children and everything that has to go on in that house. It's unfathomable even for ourselves within our smaller microcosm of a world, right? So from what Hashem is doing is infinitely greater than that, obviously. So now let's just try to jump into Perek Yomel. I'm going to skip the Haggah there also. Let's jump into Perek Yomel. Kein b'dimyayin zeh kaviyachol. So too, dimyon, this comparison, so to speak, bara hu yizbarach es ha'adam. This is the power that Hashem has infused into the Adam, or at least a similarity, an aspect of similarity of this power that we've been speaking about that Hashem has. He created that in the Adam. The Hishlito, he put the Adam in charge, al ribe rivavon kochos, on myriads of kochos, the olamos, ein mispar, just a huge amount, umasaram biyada, and handed them over to him. Shehehu hamadver, that he should be the one who guides and directs, the haman higoisam, right, and drives. Al pi kol prakit tnuas maisa.
He's the speaker?
No, that word medaber is, if you look in like in Parshas Beshalach, that word refers to driving or guiding something or directing something. The Targum over there, when it says Vayan Chaim, right? It has this meaning. The meaning of this word is not from the Lashon of Dibur, even though there's an overlap there. But it means to direct something, like to steer it, to guide it in a direction. Manhig is to drive. Drive is not only right. Driving doesn't only imply steering; it implies putting the energy of the movement in as well. So now we're talking about three distinct, we'll call it categorizations of input that we have within us that causes these drives and movements in the world. Maisa, dibur, umachshava. So these maisa, dibur, machshava, we're going to see that, you know, this as we go on, it corresponds to different levels of the soul. Maisa Dibur Machshava, but that Maisa Dibur Machshava, in a generic way, right now we're looking at it as a grouping of powers or abilities of input that we have, that those are the tools that Hashem gave us to be able to do this. What is this? This is, we have a similarity to Him that we are also, to a degree, a Baal HaKochos. Not just of our own little microcosm of a world, that's obvious. I don't need the Torah to teach me that I'm involved in affecting the environment that I'm in physically. Yeah, I can sense that myself. I don't need the Torah to teach me that. That's obvious, right? That when I speak to my children and I give them mussar, or when I help them, that I'm being mashpia on them directly and affecting them directly, or the people I talk with, or wherever I go, this or that. Those things are obvious. So if I hammer in a nail, I'm putting force into the nail and driving it into the wood, and that's holding something up. Those things are all obvious. What we're speaking of now is that we're actually a partner with Hashem in creation, and all that we were talking about before of how the creation is kind of folding back up into Hashem every second and then unfolding again and coming back out and, you know, taking on the whole shape and form and order and direction. So Hashem gave us the ability to be partners with Him. He gave a certain amount of that whole process to us, and the tools that we have to affect that, much obviously way beyond the obvious and the intuitive levels of hashpah that we have, even into the spiritual realm to a degree, we have the ability to affect. And the tools that He gave us is the neshama, and the neshama breaks down into maisa, dibur, or machshava. So the kol sidrei hanhagos of hein l'toiv oy l'hefech has hashem. All of our actions and the organization of our Maisa Dibur Machshava, that's what that means. Sidrei Hanhagaisav means not looking at Maisa Dibur Machshava as each one as a separate entity or a grouping, but there's also Sidrei Hanhagaisav. There's an overall pattern of how we put together all of those things as well. Maisa Dibur Machshava, how they complement one another, how it's a whole...
What is Hanhaga? What is Hanhagosav? What is that? What's the definition
that's
you want
to put
into it?
That's what I'm trying to say. So a maisa would be, I put on tefillin, or I davened, or I kept Shabbos, or I spoke to, right, to I did the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. That's maisa. Dibur, I said the shema, right, machshava, I was mekabo o machshamayim. That's maisa, dibur, machshava. Sidrei Hanhagosav is like, imagine looking at a whole day of the life of a person and trying to navigate your way through all that's there, the Maisa, Dibur, Machshava. What's the pattern? That's called Sidrei Hanhagosav. That's not looking at, it's like the forest. Maisa, Dibur, Machshava is like the trees. Sidrei Hanhagosav is like the forest itself. It's the it's the broader pattern of our lives, of our input into the world. Sometimes you'll find a person who, you know, they're very regimented and they're very compartmentalized, and they focus on, I'm doing this maisa and I'm doing that dibor and that machshava, but they miss sometimes the connection between all of them, the broader message of what their life is about and what they're doing in the world. And sometimes that speaks a whole different communication than the details.
It's a different type of communication, you're saying? What does that mean?
Yeah, I'm saying, like, for example, a person, sometimes you look at a person, it, like, you know, if you focus on what they're doing in the moment, or ourselves,
mm-hmm,
we focus
I
on
see,
what we're doing
see.
In the moment, we can be very connected to Hashem. But that doesn't always mean that we're living a life that's organized and planned mm-hmm. and thought out mm-hmm. that makes sense. It could be very disjointed, right? Mm-hmm. I daven, and then mm-hmm. this other thing happened, and I had to stop, and I went over there and I did that, and then I came back and I did this mitzvah. It could be very disjointed. There could be a lack of order and planning in a person's life. Yeah, and not always is that his own fault or her own fault. It could just be, right? Those are that's the situation. That's the reality. I'm an onus or whatever. But the fact is that there's a detail, ma'isa dibur machshava. There's also the seder, the organization of the whole hanhaga, the whole program of our lives, our whole day, our whole week, our whole month, our whole year, our whole life. There's an organization of all that we've done that speaks sometimes a very different communication outwardly into the world. It puts a totally different twist on the input that we have on the world we live in than what you would see if you were just breaking down and looking at any individual aspect of it. So all of that, both the details and, you know, the trees and the forest of our input system into the world, the Dibur Ma'aseh Machshava, all of that, both the details and the, you know, the broader pattern of it, Hashem gave us that as the way to affect the world, both l'tov or l'hefech, chas v'shalom. So we are partners with Hashem in creation. That's where we're heading with this. That's the direction we're taking here. That the similarity that we have is that He's given us a degree of influence in the world through creating us with this soul that we have.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Okay. So two things. So you're saying that we affect the world because of our neshama. Is that what you had said? It's our neshama that is affecting the world. And it is our neshama that, when it comes through, it's also affecting our dibur ma'aseh and machshavos.
Imagine dibur ma'aseh and machshavos as
different levels of your neshama.
Tools or garments.
Of your
tools
neshama.
Or garments are like mashalim, yeah? A tool or a garment that the neshama, as a deeper spiritual essence, puts on to influence the world. Okay.
Okay. So then the sidre hanhagos.
Yeah.
Is our overall agenda, our overall mission, our.
Yeah, it's like all these different tools, and all these different garments, right? You know, have we ever seen someone who puts on, an outfit, but, you know, like one piece of the outfit is just, it doesn't match, or something like that, yeah? So
mm-hmm.
So that's Sidre Hanhagosav, the overall
picture.
Relationship between all the different parts of our influence in the world, like our Dibur, our Ma'aseh Machshava, they're not all aligned and working together in harmony the way that they're meant to create the ultimate level of influence that we could make.
Is it still a manifestation of our neshama, the Sidre Hanhagos? It's everything.
Yeah.
It's like the garment overall.
It's the whole
ensemble aspect.
Together. It's the whole ensemble, the whole outfit, right? There's the shirt, the dress, the shoes, the, you know, the accessories. Sidre Hanhagosav is like the whole ensemble together.
Look together or not.
Yeah, so some people, you know, you look at it, you see it, right? Or
is it like we give people an impression of who we are, but Lamaisa, we might speak a certain way sometimes and sometimes and not in another way, and we think things one way sometimes and they don't even know half the things we think. Is it like this overall impression versus...
That's what Sidre Hanhagosav is. It's the harmony or the lack of harmony between all of them together, right? And also all of them working together on the highest level or not. So again, the neshama has all these different tools or garments, if you will, to be able to put on through the connection to the body and the physical body to be able to create an effect on all of creation, not only in the physical world but on the spiritual world as well, right? So how do we relate to that? So the way we relate to that is like I'm trying to give a kind of an angle on how to relate to it, right? But really what we're saying is that our neshama has these various different capabilities, and through that we, when we do things, are able to affect our physical world and our spiritual world, and that's how we are partners with Hashem in creation. But if you want to understand what the difference is between the tree and the forest, or what the difference is between, let's say, when I said, I said Kriya Shema this morning, and that's a mitzvah, but like you said, then I turned around and I said some things that, and you know, the overall pattern of my life doesn't really speak the same ultimate message. So that's saying that even though there may be a Maisa Tov in there, and that has a certain influence on the world, there's also a degree of weakness to the overall impact that I have in the world because there's an inconsistency there.
Another cable?
Yes.
Has he actually used the word neshama yet here? Did I miss it, or you're plugging it in at this point?
No, at this point I'm plugging it in, but he's going to definitely.
Is Kolam Elohim interchangeable with neshama?
In this sefer, it is. In this sefer, it is. Later on in this shar, he'll start to break down the terminology that we're more familiar with: nefesh, ruach, neshama. When I'm saying neshama right now, at this point in the sefer, I'm referring to it as the generic term neshama, which is another way, a handle to refer to the Tzelem Elokim.
Okay.
But as we move further along, it will start to branch out into much more detail, and we'll get more specific as we move along.
So we're to understand Tzelem Elokim to mean soul. That's what
you're saying. So far that's all we've done. Right, we're at the beginning of the third chapter, and what we've done is we explain the word Tzelem or Demus to mean a similarity. Elokim is we have a similarity to Elokim. Elokim is the description of how Hashem, again, runs the world, influences all the different forces in the world by organizing them after having brought them into fruition every second, and then, right, you know, running and creating and maintaining and sustaining our world from one frame to the next. We have been given, through our neshama, which is referred to as the Tzelem Elokim, the ability to be partners with Hashem in that process. And the tools that our neshama has to be able to do that from our end of the equation is Maisa, Dibur, Machshava. Those are the garments or the tools. And those garments and tools can be looked at individually, but also together as an ensemble. And our neshama has the ability, through what we're doing in this world, to make all sorts of different levels of impact in the world. The more we fire on all cylinders, the more consistency there is, not only, and the more perfection, I use that word sparingly, but the more perfection there is in each aspect, in each element, Dibur, Maisa, Machshava, but also in the harmony of the whole system together, the greater the impact can be, both l'tov or chas v'shalom l'hefech. You have people who get very motivated and very organized and very harmoniously working for something very wrong and very bad, unfortunately, in the world as well. And that makes huge ripple effects and deep, deep, you know, rifts in the spiritual world as well, chas v'shalom.
So it sounds like that has to come first. The Sidrei Hanhagos has to come first with some serious contemplation and delving into where do you want to take things.
Yes.
What do you want? Who are you? What do you want to do? Huh?
The whole purpose of Cheshbon HaNefesh is to take us to the level of Sidrei HaNhagosov. That's the whole purpose of Cheshbon HaNefesh. Because, right, the fact of the matter is Dibur Maisa Machshava, there's a certain formula for that, right? The Torah tells us, you wake up in the morning, you make your bracha, before you eat, you make a bracha, right? You have to keep Shabbos, it comes every 7 days, this is how you do it. Maisa Dibur Machshava has a certain prescription to it. What's missing for each one of us, usually, is, how do I, as a creation of Hashem with a certain tafkid in this world, how am I meant to put all of this together in my special way so that I'm making the proper influence in the world that Hashem really wants me to make? And it goes beyond just following the, you know, the recipe, if you will. I know you know what I mean when I say that. You know, there's a Shulchan Aruch, and I'm not, Chas v'Shalom, we have to keep the Shulchan Aruch, and we have to keep it right and do things the way that it says. But there's the fifth chelik of Shulchan Aruch as well. There's a deeper level that we're always trying to attain, which is to live a life of dveikus and shleimus, that where everything is, you know, the right balance of everything and the right amount of everything and the right, you know, proportion of everything is all in proper place, so that and it's calibrated for me in my situation, That's what Cheshvan HaNefesh is really trying to achieve, not just checking up on myself to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, which is important as well, but to try to strive for the deeper, you know, the deeper pattern of what my life is really supposed to be. So maybe we'll pause it here, and Bezat Hashem, we'll continue at the beginning of Perek Gimel the next time next week, Bezat Hashem, we meet.
I just have a quickie quick.
Yeah, no problem. I can take questions.
We're firing away.
I'll take questions. I'm just not planning on doing more text today.
Okay, I did have a quickie.
So fire away.
It's Michelle. We probably should introduce ourselves as we speak. I am so sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry that I'm, like, babbling. I think I just have been for so long wanting to learn this, so it's just all gushing out. My apologies. In Sari Kedusha, so, I mean, obviously, this is not the safer we're learning right now, but boy, oh boy, did you bring out some, like, serious interest here when you express that Tzelem is a deeper part of your soul and Demus is the less deeper part, but it allows us to associate with our physical being. I'm not sure I understood that correctly, but is there any point that you could elaborate on that when it's needed? Because it seems very essential.
Well, I think that as we move forward, it will come out, and I'll point out when it does.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing to appreciate is that what we can gain from what I was trying to bring out from the Shari Kedusha is maybe even a more fundamental point, which is that every single layer and dimension of ourself, the physical body with the arrangement of the limbs, everything corresponds one layer to the next, all the way to the essence of our soul. It's unfortunate that we don't appreciate, you know, we have there's a right side of us, a left side of us. We have 10 fingers, 10 toes. There's a head, you know, the eyes, the ears. There's every single organ, limb, piece of the body, so to speak, all of it corresponds, if you know how to understand what the patterning of the Tzelem Elokim is as you go to the deeper levels, so you can begin to understand the correspondence between every piece, every aspect of the physical form, how that corresponds to, you know, some ability or capability that we have on a spiritual level, or some access point that we have to a higher dimension. And when you understand the organization that we speak of, you know, from time to time about the Sefirot, and, you know, the organization of the Sefirot, the hierarchy of the Sefirot, and our physical form. So what you begin to understand is that what the Shari Kedusha is saying is, yeah, there's something called the deeper level of Neshama, the lower level of Neshama, if you will, that which corresponds to, connects to, and fills the body. Those are important ideas. But on a deeper level is to appreciate that there's an integration here. There's an integration between the physical form and the spiritual form through every layer and dimension that we have access to, all the way up to the kiss of the breath of Hashem that's coming into us out of our soul. So the more we learn, the more we begin to understand that it's not like body and soul are you know, just, you know, we have a body and we have a soul and they fight with one another all the time and the body wants this and the soul wants that. Like Hashem has designed us with such an unbelievable beauty and such an unbelievable integration that the more we tap into the ideas that we're going to be learning in this Sefer, the more it opens up our ability to be able to just intuit and perceive almost to a degree how we are actually affecting the world and how that really is bringing us so much closer to Hashem, because we're not just living in this kind of, you know, external world that everyone out there is, you know, sadly, you know, they're just floating around in it. You know, they're just being bounced around by all the forces, but they have no connection at all to the deeper reality. When you appreciate that integration, that beauty, that systemized connection of all the different layers of neshama and guf all together, it just changes your whole perception of who you are, what the world is, everything around us. It's just unfathomable. It's beautiful. And it's something to have, right, that can bring us close to Hashem, just that idea itself.
And it probably also means, like, each person looks so different. So, like, my right leg might correspond and looks the way it looks because it corresponds maybe to something very specific, to something very specific in my neshama that's just for me. I'm just curious if the physicality, like a round face, a small face, a heart-shaped face, or this, that. I wonder if, like, the physical shape.
Yeah, Rizal knew how to look at people's faces and the facial features.
Right.
To be able to know what their Shoresh HaNeshama was.
Right. Of course it's like that.
There's no question.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. We may not know that Chachma, but we can at least understand how that Chachma is real and have a certain kavod for it because every layer is perfectly integrated with the layer below it and deeper in and all the way back to Hashem. So I don't know the Chachma of Partzufin, but I have kavod for the Chachma of Partzufin because I know that it must be true. I don't know anyone who knows it, so I can't trust this person or that person to tell me, you know, whatever. But I know that there must be such a chachma.
Wow.
And it's more than that. Chazal say that never in the history of mankind ever was there or ever will there ever be two people whose faces were exactly the same. The face is the gateway to the soul. Every single person, and that's what Chazal say, why was Adam HaRishon created as a singular person? Yeah? Why didn't Hashem just create a whole society of people? Why was Adam HaRishon created Yechidi? To teach you that each person is a one-time creation. There never was and never will be anyone who's exactly of your same patterning, your same form, ever before or ever again. Every single one of us is a one-time creation. Hashem created us and threw away the mold. And the next one, even our children, who look a lot like us, but they're also their own people as well. They're independent. They're unique. There's a newness to it. There's a new aspect there. So, you know, it's when you look at that reality that there's not even twins. There's always something slightly different if you know how to look carefully enough. So the fact of the matter is that should automatically teach us that no two people have the same tafkid either. Because why would Hashem bother just to make everyone different if it didn't also attached to a deeper level of what the purpose of that person's life is in the world and what influences they're meant to make.
Right.
So it's not just the face that's different, it's the whole spiritual makeup. It's the whole mechanics of their soul. The physical form, therefore, is also slightly different. There's also, you can see from here, you can understand the concept of the soul family, the neshamas that are connected, because even though we're all individuals and we all have something to do, but there's so many times where we could be connected on a spiritual level or on a physical level, and there could be groupings.
But why would that happen if Adam was created b'yichid, then how is there a soul family and connection on it?
Because the whole system also is integrated with a plan and a pattern. So the way that the Arizal taught with Chaim Vital and the Shara Gilgulim to appreciate this idea is, imagine that all the neshamas from all of history, all the way through, form one human being. It's called Adam Kadmon, the first soul. Really, Hashem only created one soul. All we are is just branches of that and different combinations. So the fact of the matter is, if you were to look at all the souls together, they also form what? A Tzelem Elohim, all the souls together. But that same Tzelem Elohim has to have the same exact structure and makeup and layering all the way down. So therefore, like it says in the Tanya, our generation is like the heel. All of our neshamas in this entire generation are all from the heel. There's higher neshamas and lower neshamas, and there's a whole, you know, hierarchy within our generation. But we as a generation are from the heel, like ikvasadir mashicha, like the akev, the heel. Yeah? We're like the heel. Adam HaRishon was like the head, and the previous generations, right, you know, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov represented certain parts, etc., all the way down the line. But if you looked at all the neshamas throughout all of history, it will also form the same exact tselem. Because we're all together also linked and layers of one another all the way back to that original Bria of the Neshama of Adam HaRishon. So again, that's what I'm trying to say is that there's so much that we could gain from understanding the Tzelem Dmus on a deeper level. But that's really what the Shari Kedusha and some of the other Sfarim focus more on. He will get to that in this Sefer. But for us, just to know that our physical form and our spiritual form are all integrated. Each one of us has a slightly unique pattern and purpose, and we can see that both physically, and through that we can extrapolate and know that spiritually also we all have a slightly different, even if it's, you know, all Jews are meant to keep Torah and mitzvahs, but each one of us has a slightly different dagesh. We have our tikkun, our particular mitzvah that we're meant to excel in, maybe, you know, specific aspects that we're meant to focus on, maybe a little more than someone else. And the whole pattern of our lives also, and Hashem putting those situations in front of us, is guiding us in that direction. And Hashem doesn't waste. So He'll put the situations in front of us if we don't know where we're going. So Hashem will push the agenda. Because he's an investor. He's not going to waste his investment.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, even if you don't know, you can know what you're supposed to be doing, so to speak.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay,
more on the fixing. I don't know about the. Okay, go ahead. I'm going to stop talking. Go ahead, Zoya. I'm sorry.
So really, we're all part of one soul family, ultimately.
Yes.
As we get closer and closer to Geula, the soul family will become more and more unified, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean that's the vision of Chazal, is that at the end, the Kol Haaretz Mala Deyas Hashem, the whole world. We'll know Hashem. We'll all serve Him one shoulder together. There'll
have
be
to
unity
expand
in the
our
end.
Chabura to the whole world.
How have I, right? But in other words, the idea is, of course, that's where it's all heading, right? But, you know, if you think about it, though, right, the fact of the matter is that right now there is a huge disparity amongst, you know, humanity and the Jews amongst themselves as well. And that's the tikkun of this final generation. You know, if you think about it, think about this for a moment. The body, all of its weight, from the head all the way down, fact of the matter is that which really supports us is the heel. The whole structure of the person rests on the heel itself, right? That's how we stand in one place. So the fact of the matter is that even though our role as the final generation or generations together seems so insignificant relative to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. But the fact of the matter is that we're actually holding up the entire structure of the spiritual reality of Klal Yisrael and the history of the world on our shoulders. And it all comes, if you think about it, the heel is actually a very, very small bone. It's tiny relative to the size of other bones in the body. It's tiny. It's minuscule. Yeah? So that heel actually, that small, tiny little piece, all the weight and all the force of the entire body rests, and it comes to a head right in that one point.
Wow.
So, right, our generation serves a huge function in carrying this process of being metakein in the world and ultimately supporting it and bringing it to its final point of connection to, right, the tachlis of what it was meant to be. And that's when it becomes sof ma'iseh b'machshav atchilo, the end result, like the heel, the end result. The Machshav Atchila will be revealed how all of what came out now is what Hashem had been planning for all those generations through and through and through all the way through creation. So we get to take a part in that, even though maybe we didn't generate the engines and the force to push forward to this point, and we're just picking up on the heels of great people who did it and brought us to this point. But the fact of the matter is, we shouldn't belittle ourselves and think that we're so insignificant. There's a huge role to play as this generation.
Yeah.
Wow. Fantastic.
I don't have more. Yeah. Thank you so much, Rav Kiva.
Any questions you have during the week, if you want to send them by email, I'll try to get to them, Bezrat Hashem, or next week. And we'll pick up at the beginning of Perek Gimel.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Thank you, Rav Kiva.
Okay,
thank
my pleasure.
Much.
Bye. Have a great week.
Oh. Good Michelle?
Is it
hanging
up? Bye. Hi, Saliza. Is it
Dvorah? Saliza. Hi.
That was
amazing,
huh?
That was awesome, huh?
Also speechless, yeah.
Hi, how's your voice? How are you doing?
Baruch Hashem, great. On vacation with my family in Vineland, New Jersey for 1 week.
Are you in New Jersey?
Yeah, by my husband's family.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah,
it's been a while to be like in New Jersey learning this Torah.
Yeah, I feel like everything else